Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you on this beautiful Sunday afternoon on All Sons and Daughters Day, and I hope that your Sunday is going well. I bless and praise God for you for joining your hostess, Lisa Marie, here on South of Heaven Network 9 for Lisa Marie's Rise, Lovely, and Brunch. And I'm excited to continue the 12th year anniversary celebration of the reign of Christ in my life, as well as the reign of Christ over his bride, his church. And what an honor it is to be with you, to share more with you of what he's opened up to me, shared with me, declared to me, with you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, as I embark on and have entered into the 12th year reign of Bride of Christ Ministry. Then I'm really excited about what the Lord has given me for today's celebration. And just want to quickly let you know that I'm at my Facebook post. So you can catch everything and see everything that I've written on my Facebook post. I'm on air, but not in studio. Again, a lot of things that I write can't fit in the description box, so I kind of just put it on my Facebook post prior to coming on air. So if you want to go on over and be there with me, you are certainly welcome. I tell you, I'm excited about this celebration exhortation he's given me, where I'm celebrating apostolic women as well as marriages in the New Testament. And I tell you, this was a really awesome, it was really a blessing putting this together and allowing the Lord to minister to me. And I tell you what he really began to minister to me about the apostolic and bringing it back to my remembrance is that there is no other foundation. There's no other foundation that can be laid other than Jesus Christ. And if any man builds upon any other foundation, that foundation will be tried by fire. So I pray that you are building your house on a solid rock, which is Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. And I certainly hope that you are in the reign of Christ, because he said, those that suffer with me will also reign with me. And that's what the celebration is all about. We have been given victory in Christ Jesus. It's already won. We are already victorious because of what Jesus did by way of his death, burial, and resurrection. And I'm here to just celebrate that in my life and being an overcomer by faith. And what better way to do that by honoring Apostle Paul, Saint Apostle Paul. I have a lot to get to, and I want to really make sure I cover within the 45 minutes that I have. And before I really get into Romans, the 16th chapter, first through the fifth verse, I really want to just share something with you that he reminded me of as it relates to the Last Supper and being partakers of the Last Supper, which is Holy Communion. How Jesus said that as often as we do this, drink of his body and eat of his blood, he said we do this in showing forth his death until he comes. We do this in remembrance of him. And one of the things that he wanted me to remind you of is that one of the dangers of eating and drinking unworthily is that, as he said, many are weak in among you, and even some fall asleep, which means death. And he said that because they don't properly discern the Lord's body. And one of the things that is really notable, as I really began to praise the Lord, continue to praise him and glorify him for this wonderful celebration and everything that is birthing, was that the office of apostle and the prophet are two of the most dangerous offices you can claim or to walk in, because those two offices are subject to the judgment of God, which is death. And as he said, he did eat and drink it unworthily, eat it and drink it damnation to his soul. And most people love these top spots. They love these two offices, the apostle and the prophet. And that's usually because of the power and authority that it has, and how it's the most abused because of filthy lucre, fame, and again, it's the most dangerous. And I'm really reminded of a previous celebration that I was in, where it was someone that I shared my celebration with, and this person was a woman apostle, or she said she was an apostle, and I'll never forget the warfare that I was in as a result of just simply believing she was that, and how I was attacked, and how the enemy really tried to use it to just really overtake that celebration, and came against me. And I entered into a warfare with her for a couple of months. And there were some things that were very unsavory that she was doing that was so bold as it relates to me. And, you know, and having connections with people that I knew not of, and it was really just demonic. And I remember being very angry, very hurt, and I stood my ground in that warfare. And unfortunately, and I do not say this with any boasting boasting at all, but God took care of that, and she's no longer here. She's no longer here on this earth, and I must decree and declare, I pronounce judgment of the judgment of God upon her. And I've seen God do that on my behalf. And in this part of the celebration, I'm going to be speaking on two people that the judgment of God fell upon, which was Ananias and Sapphira. And what's so ironic about Ananias and Sapphira, these were the two that bore witness of Paul's conversion, which I'll get in later in the broadcast. And the judgment of God fell upon them because they operated out of falsehood. And because of that falsehood, they died. The Lord killed them, sacrificed them. And that says that God has no respect for person in judgment. So the very people who witnessed his conversion was the very people who got judged by way of them lying and having falsehood, operating out of the office, or just mishandling God's things. So I wanted to say that because God takes the name of, the use of his name in vain very seriously, especially when it comes to persecuting his church, his little ones. And the thing that he was saying to me is that the fear of the Lord and the dread of the Lord is falling in his hour. He said the judgment of God must first begin at the house of the Lord. The office of an apostle is not one of fame and fortune, neither is the office of a prophet. Apostle Paul suffered greatly as a result of being converted and confessing the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was simply his love for God, his love for Jesus, that he was able to overcome. He was martyred, but he did so knowing that he was worthy of the death of Christ and being crucified in his name. And that's the thing that I reminded of in this celebration is that Christ didn't die in vain. His dying was not in vain, and that's what the whole New Testament declares, that everything he did in giving his life, because no man took of his life, he laid it down for the brethren, is that it's not in vain. And I'm praising and thanking him for that and putting the remembrance of that and declaring to me what this part of the celebration means as I continue to celebrate the number 12. Which represents his government, his authority, his judgment. And one of the things that I really love about the apostolic anointing, before I get into Romans, is that the early church, and one of the attributes of being in the apostolic anointing, being in oneness in the apostolic anointing, is that they had all things in common. They had all things in common. And the thing that I so love about this is not just celebrating the women of the New Testament who Paul recognized as fellow laborers, the beloved, the well-beloved, but also their marriages, because these women, most of the women were married in the New Testament. And that's another thing that I so love about the early church. A lot of things that Paul wrote was inspired by those marriages, where he says in Romans, the same chapter, in the same book, husband, honor your wife, as Christ loved the church, because in his traveling and meeting Aquila and Aquila and Priscilla, their godly marriage was something that he took notice of, and he included in the New Testament because he saw it by example. So I'm really excited to share this with you, and it was so beautiful how the Lord just gave it to me. And I just celebrate, again, not just the women of the New Testament, which were many. I'm only going to speak on a few that is spoken of in the book of Romans. And that's not to give honor to Esther and all the women before. But he wanted me to focus on apostolic women because they represent the New Testament. And how the New Testament, again, is fulfilled in the Old. So I'm excited to minister this because, again, walking in the apostolic anointing, again, says that we have all things in common. And that's what Paul had in common with Priscilla and Aquila, was that when he came to, let me go there quickly. I'm going to go to Acts 18, chapter 1st through 3rd verse, because this is where Paul, after he departed from Athens and came to Corinth, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately came from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came to them, and because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought for by their occupation. They were tent makers. And I really found that beautiful because in his traveling, in him meeting Aquila and Priscilla, they shared the same craft. He abode with them because their craft and their trade was, and their occupation were as tent makers. So I really found that it's a blessing that it declares in Acts that when they were all of one accord, having the same mind, speaking the same thing, having all things in common, that thing they had in common also profited them. Because as a tent maker, of course, you can sell a tent to make money, which, again, speaks to prosperity and wealth and carrying one purse and understanding that we have our inheritance among those that are sanctified. Amen. That's part of the kingdom wealth. Amen. Being part of the true church, having a true apostolic anointing, your finances and whatever you have in common or not in common, that it will glorify God and that we share those things in love. Hallelujah. As brothers in Christ. So I wanted to read that because that's a thing that I was praising God for, and the fact that he had that in common with them as being tent makers. Now, go back up to Romans the 16th chapter, the first through the fifth verse, because in Romans the 16th chapter, he says, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is in Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord as becoming saints, and that you assist her in whatsoever business she had need of. Again, business. The apostolic is not just the anointing that speaks of eternal life and salvation and being able to preach the gospel and bring kingdom and evangelize the sinner, but it also represents business. And he was saying to those at that church to receive her in the Lord, because she becoming what? Saints. And that they help her in whatever business she had need of. And that's what we're supposed to be doing, being the apostolic church, being Christ's first fruits, being the sheep of his pasture, being that we are built upon him, which is our lively stone. He says, for she had succour of many, and myself also. Now I want to stop there, and I'm going to read to you the definition of succour. Succor. Now that means to give help in times of need or distress or difficulty, to recover, to be a rescuer, a savior, someone who saves something from danger or violence. So he says, for she had been a succorer of many. She saved many. She snatched many out of the fire, not only of others, but of him also, he's saying. So that's Phoebe, which was one sister that he spoke of. And Phoebe was a first century believer who Apostle Paul trusted to deliver his letters to the Romans. Paul referred to her as a deacon. So the thing that I so love about Paul, after his conversion, from his encounter with the Lord on the road to Damascus, was that God immediately used him to strengthen the brethren. And that's another thing that the Lord says and the Word of God declares, that when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Strengthen, not compete, not use the name of the Lord as a high and mighty weapon and connect yourself to his lordship, but not to his humility. So that's what he was saying, that that she was entrusted to deliver letters to the churches. And he, again, recognized her as a deacon. Now, that's Phoebe, and in the next verse it says, Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helper in Jesus Christ, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. In their house. So they were going house to house to fellowship and worship. And I tell you, that's what it seems like. This is where this time is headed to, that our worship and our praise needs to first and foremost be in our house. And that's why he often talked about doing especially good to the household of faith, not just the household of faith because of their confession, but the household of faith who trusted God for their needs. He says, salute my well-beloved. I really worked on pronouncing these names before I came on air. Epinus, who is the first fruit of Echina unto Christ. So in Romans, he's really speaking to these churches to receive those who he were able to vouch for. And that's what he did with Phoebe. He said, because she was not known in Rome. In her delivering these messages and delivering his letters, she was not known in Rome. And so Paul introduced her as his embassy and provided them with her credentials. And that goes back to what he also said, is to know those that labor among you. He trusted her to deliver those letters, which was vital for those churches to receive, and being discipled by him, because that's what Paul did. He was a disciple. He discipled Priscilla and Aquila. He discipled Phoebe. He discipled many who received. And so those who he received, he also encouraged the churches to receive as well. And not only to receive, but salute, to honor them. And so that's the thing that, you know, you have to discern in understanding the New Testament church, the apostolic anointing, is that the first thing that is known in the attributes of the apostolic is humility. And that's not so with the false church or the harlot church or the angel of light or those who are false Christ. It's a spirit of competition. the gifts of the Spirit is being used to exalt oneself or compete with someone else in their gifting. And that's not Christ. That's not God. That's not the Spirit of Christ. Christ is not competing with himself. He's not trying to have a word duel. Who can come with the grandest word, the finest word? That's not how you use out your gifts, and that's not how we're supposed to be giving honor to the apostolic anointing, which is the person of Christ. Now, he goes on in the next verse and says, "Greet Mary." Greet Mary, of course, and she certainly was an apostolic woman who bestowed much labor on us. He said, "Salute Andronius and Juna, my kinsmen." Now, Priscilla and Aquila were a married couple, and Andronius and Juna were also married. So these are married couples that he received and saluted and called them his kinsmen. And my fellow prisoners. So they were just not kinsmen. He said that they were his bondsmen because they just did not, were not just with him because of him being named an apostle by Jesus Christ. They were with him as fellow prisoners in the gospel, in his suffering. He says, "Who are of note among the apostles?" Fellow prisoners who are of note among the apostles, who also we in Christ before me, who also were in Christ before me. So he acknowledged that they were there before he was converted. And the thing about Paul is that God really quickened him. He really did. I mean, his ministry was not long. And that's why God said he will do a quick work and cut it short in righteousness. And why Jesus said, whatever you're going to do it quickly before the Son of Man betrayed. So when God anoints us and he appoints us and we're called to the apostolic and living and being governed by the apostolic, it's a quick work because it's the Holy Spirit doing the work. Hallelujah. Now he said, "Greet Amphilus, my beloved in the Lord. Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ, and Sotep." Now, I want to go back to Junus and her husband. His name means victory. Victory. And he was also called the well-beloved. So, you know, again, every name that we've been given has a purpose and meaning. And also, the Lord changed our names, like he did Paul. Saul became Paul. He was Saul before he had the encounter on the road to Damascus, but he became Paul after his conversion. So I just wanted to mention that and share that with you, that all of these people, saints and fellow laborers, were beloved to Paul because they were what? Helpers in Christ. And many were apostles before he was ordained and elected to be apostle. Now he goes on to say, "My beloved, salute Apollos, approved in Christ. Salute them which are of Aristobulus' household. Salute Herodium, my kinsmen. Greet them that be of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord." Hallelujah. Now here we see him now saying salute Tyrenia and Tarisifia. Oh my God, I'm not butchering that too bad. Who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord. Now, these two women, Taphia and Thassia, means dainty or delicate. That's Tynia's name. Now, Tysophia means luxurious. And these two women profited by the preaching of Paul. And by them profiting by the preaching of Paul, they were able to make great progress in perfecting the church. So again, our prosperity and being in unity and oneness in the apostolic anointing, even receiving a true apostle, you will prosper. And oftentimes Paul said, take unto you so-and-so, for they are profitable for the ministry. So that was also the developing of their gifts, not just spiritually, but naturally so that they could have their needs met, their natural needs met. So they're profiting and prospering by Paul's gospel. They were able to help perfect the church. These two women were discipled by Paul. Now, Persis, P-R-E-S-I-S, her name translates to Persia, which means notable people, one who takes by storm. Hallelujah, one who takes by storm. And Persis was one who labored intensely in her labor of the Lord. She seized many opportunities to witness regardless of the hindrances and the difficulties she faced. She truly fought the good fight of faith. She was called the beloved as well. She was also called the beloved as well. So all of these women and their husbands, their marriages, were observed by Paul. And he wrote in the book of Romans about husbands submit to your wives and wives love your husbands, and because he saw that godly example by these marriages. And that's one of the things that he was saying to me as I was allowing him to minister to me this, was that there's going to be a lot of godly marriages that are going to be birthed from the true apostolic. When you are really have submitted to Christ, who is the chief apostle, you're not going to be married two and three and four times. I'm not saying that, you know, we can't get an heir, but when you truly love the Lord and love God and you are truly, especially a leader, because although they were helpless with Christ, they were also leaders. They also had their own ministry. They led godly examples because they truly loved Christ. Now, I included here Paul's conversion and his election by God on the road to Damascus, and that's found in Acts, the 9th chapter, the 1st through the 27th verse. And again, a thing that I was saying at the top of the hour about this is not only Jesus appearing to him, asking him why does he persecute him, but also seeing that Ananias and how God used Ananias, again, was one who was a witness of Paul's conversion, and again, how later on him and his wife was judged for lying to the Holy Ghost. And most importantly, lying to a true prophet, a true apostle. Now, God knows there's so much more worse going on in these days than just that. Which is why he said they have been preordained to his condemnation. Now, the thing that I really was blessed by in reading this and reading about Paul and celebrating like Paul's life as an apostle and those who labored with him was that, again, he was called by the will of God, not by men. And that was found in Galatians, the first chapter, first through the third verse, where he says, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither of man, but by Jesus Christ, the God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with him, unto the churches of the Galatia, grace be to you, and peace from God the Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So again, Paul was not called of man. He was called of God, chosen by God. Titus, the first chapter, the fourth verse through the first verse says, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, according to the faith of God's elect. And God's elect was those who he spoke of that came before him. And them acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. Hallelujah. The acknowledging of the truth is always after godliness, in hope of eternal life. It's been granted and given to us, but we hope that we're able to still have it if we stay the course. So that's another thing that we need to understand, and you need to understand in acknowledging truth, that it's always going to be after godliness, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. So our hope of eternal life is in God, that he cannot lie, promised before the world began. So his plan of salvation and redemption and sending Jesus was already in the works the minute Adam sinned and failed. So he says, that God cannot lie, promised before the world began, but had in due time manifest his word through preaching. He said, through the fruits of preaching, God saved those who would believe. Where am I at again? Through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God, our Savior. So our preaching is committed unto him, to the commandment of God, our Savior. To Titus, my own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. So I wanted to read those because this is his declaration of who he was called to encourage, to receive in the faith, and to encourage in the faith. 2 Corinthians, I want to include this because in 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, we just see Apostle Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in Achaia, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And he just goes on to bless God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy, and the God of comfort, wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, So our consolation also abounded in Christ. So I wanted to include 2 Corinthians because he speaks of his sufferings and consolation and salvation and his effectual and enduring of the same suffering which he also suffered. And Paul often wrote that being an apostle, he was the least of least. And his being called an apostle came with much suffering. But in that suffering, he had great tribulation, great glory, and great praise, because it was for the cause of Christ, who he now had encountered himself personally in Jesus appearing to him and showing him that he was the Christ who he was persecuting by way of killing the saints. Even on that day that he was blinded on the road to Damascus. So in your own time, you can read the rest of it, 2 Corinthians, because it's really reminds us of how we're to be established in Christ Jesus, and how it is Christ himself that we're in the image of and the likeness of, and we're all to grow in the measure of the man which is in Christ Jesus. He goes on to say in verse 22, whom had also sealed us and given us the earnest spirit in our hearts. And I want to end on that scripture, that he had sealed us and given us the earnest of the spirit in our hearts. It's our hearts that bear witness. It's our spirit that bear witness. And God bear us record. And that's something we need to remember, that God is all-knowing, all-seeing. No one is getting away with anything. He sees all. He knows all. And he bears record of everything we do and have done and will do. So I pray that as my sisters and brothers in Christ, that you stand fast in the liberty of Christ that made you free, and that we continue to be helpers one to another. And most importantly, be helpers of each other's joy. Hallelujah. Because much as Paul wrote to the church in his sufferings, he also spoke a lot about the joy of the Lord and that rejoicing in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ and seeing him again face to face, which we all will do. Amen. We all will appear before the white throne judgment. So I really pray that you are walking in the reverence of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, which means his respect. Amen. And do that in simplicity and having a godly sincerity. Amen. Not in the flesh, being carnal. Amen. So with that, I bid you peace, blessings, and much love. I hope you enjoy the rest of your afternoon. And I will certainly be back later in the week. And I think I'm going to do closing ceremonies. I think I'm going to close out. If there's one more message that he has for me to minister, I will do that, either on my Facebook post or on my Twitter feed, or I'll come live here on Blog Talk Radio. But I definitely will be closing out this week, and we'll be doing that by closing ceremonies. So I hope that all things are new in your life. I hope God is birthing something new in you and doing something new in your life. And I pray he keeps you in all your ways, in all your ways. And he would cause his face to shine upon you. Love you. Peace, blessings, and much love.